this morning. We're going to continue our discussion of Ehe Kosu Hotsugomon. So this is the last in a series of talks. What we've been exploring is Dogen's expression of the practice of vow. So you will have noticed, if you quietly explore, as he asks us to do, that there's much, much more to be said about this than we could cover in four lectures. I would say there's a lifetime of questions and explorations that we can have with this text. In this final section, we can say it's a kind of summation of the many points that Dogen has been making. So let me read this final section that we're going to talk about today, and then we'll go through it. We ended up with the line last week, which I'm just going to have as a kind of crossover for today. Dogen Zenji says, "Quietly explore the farthest reaches of these causes and conditions, as this is the exact transmission of a verified Buddha. Repenting in this way, one never fails to receive profound help from all Buddhas and ancestors. Revealing and disclosing one's lack of faith and practice before the Buddha, the power of this revelation melts away the root of transgression. This is the pure and simple color of the true practice, of the true mind of faith, of the true body of faith." So that's kind of a whopper, right? It's got a lot of whopper turns in it, a lot of challenge in it. And the first line that I want to talk about, "Quietly explore the farthest reaches of these causes and conditions," that's what I asked you to do over this practice period, and what specifically we talked about last week. This is the exact transmission of a verified Buddha. So when we quietly explore the causes and conditions of our life and our practice, we come to know and realize the exact transmission of a verified Buddha. That is the exact transmission of a verified Buddha. We can say that this is interdependent dynamic reality. Those are the kind of good words that we like to use a lot. Interdependence, dynamic, reality, the arising and perishing, the aliveness of this life. But interdependent dynamic reality is rather abstract and distant, don't you think? The lived reality of this teaching is not abstract and distant. It is intimacy. It is konodoko, responsive communion. It is being alive in our lives with others and realizing this truth. The causes and conditions of our life are infinite. Our practice is infinite and absolutely particular in this moment at the same time. When we quietly explore this, this becomes apparent to us. What is real becomes apparent to us. We encounter our world directly. Dogen consistently uses the word show. He really likes the word show. Over and over and over again, you see this in his teachings. Show is verification, authentication, that our practice verifies what is already here. It doesn't make something happen. It uncovers, it makes real for us, makes apparent to us what is already here. Enlightenment, awakening, is not something that is created. It is not the result of anything. It is not the result of anything. And it is certainly not a goal at the end of a long journey or a reward for being good or working hard. According to Dogen's teachings, enlightenment is the starting point. It is what draws us to practice. It is realized, made real through us, with us, in our practice. It is this verification of what is already true. So our practice starts with enlightenment. In Japanese, this is shujo no shu. Realization, moment by moment. It's endless. There's a reality of enlightenment as our lives. And it impels us to make it real. So you could ask yourself, what is it that drew me and continues to draw me to practice? Quietly consider this. What is it that draws me? Maybe it's not so clear, but there's something. The teaching that practice and realization are one, in Japanese, shuso ito, this is very important in Dogen's teachings. It shapes everything about our practice and how we understand this text. One moment of practice is one moment of realization, whether we know it or not. I say this frequently. We want to know. We want to categorize. But knowing isn't necessary. Realizing is necessary. This is the exact transmission of a verified Buddha. No place else. The next line comes to a very tricky word. Dogen Senji says, repenting in this way, one never fails to receive profound help from all Buddhas and ancestors. Repenting in this way, one never fails to receive profound help from all Buddhas and ancestors. The word repent is a challenging one, I think. It reminds me of those cartoons, you know, that you see where this scraggly guy with a placard that says, "The end is near, repent, repent, the end is near." Or it can call forth a corrosive sense that we should somehow apologize for our imperfect existence as flawed human beings. But that is not the meaning. To repent is to feel regret for being off. It's an expression of care for ourselves, and it's transforming. It's a recognition of our humanity and a clear-eyed seeing of our limitations. Dogen emphasizes this clear-eyed seeing repeatedly. We need to be honest. Yamada Roshi says, honesty is the most important thing in the practice of Zazen. And this honesty does not stop at seeing ourselves, our limitations, our definitions, our narratives. If we're truly honest, we go deeper than that. And we're confronted with a different perception of who we are, a wider view, an expansion. We are honest all the way down, past our definitions, to the bedrock which is that we are the arising of this moment with all beings. This is liberating honesty. It includes everything. So we recognize our limitations. We recognize the horizon of our sight and the ways we construct a limited view of the world that we see. When we see with these eyes of honesty, however, we take our place accurately in the web of existence. We come to know ourselves as that web in our particularity and in our universality, this intersection. It's hard, such honesty, because it requires us to let go of our cherished notions, even the ones that can be corrosive. It asks us always to go deeper. In this way, we let go of toxic self-centeredness. We realize we are not the center of the universe. The universe is the center of the universe. We are a part of it. We are a fact of it. When we take this posture, the Buddhas and ancestors, all beings, support us to remember this identity, recall us to a way of life that is liberating, that liberates us from limited ideas and brings us alive. This places the whole of reality in the center of our life. This is a life of vow. It does not erase the self. It supports us to be alive as a self with all beings. I was reading a lecture recently by my teacher, Sojin Weizmann Roshi, and he put it this way. When Buddha-centeredness and self-centeredness come together as one center, then we're in perfect balance. I don't know whether I'm Buddha or self. He says, Zazen, we say, is Buddha's practice, not self's practice. There is a self there, but it is not the self's practice. We let go of our self-centeredness and offer ourselves up to Buddha. Let me read that for you again. When Buddha-centeredness and self-centeredness come together as one center, then we're in perfect balance. I don't know whether I'm Buddha or self. Zazen, we say, is Buddha's practice, not self's practice. There is a self there, but it is not the self's practice. We let go of our self-centeredness and offer ourselves up to Buddha. I would add, this is true not just in Zazen, but in all aspects of our lives. We are a self, and when we cease from trying to wrench reality into our self-centered version of it, or perhaps more accurately, when we know that we are trying to do that again, and with kindness and firmness, we allow that to shift. We find our place as a self in the web of reality. When I was reading this Buddha-centeredness and self-centeredness coming together, I was reminded of, you know, when you get your eyes examined and they do those little flippy things, you know, and at some point it kind of comes together and your eyeballs kind of come together and you can see clearly. It's like that. It's like we can be off. We can see one way, another way, one way, another way. But when these come together, it's like there's a harmony that happens in us and with all beings. This harmony in that moment is freedom from delusion. The last two lines state this again. And they also bring faith to the forefront. The lines are, revealing and disclosing one's lack of faith and practice before the Buddha, the power of this revelation melts away the root of transgressions. This is the pure and simple color of the true practice, of the true mind of faith, of the true body of faith. As Dogen said in the previous lines, we reveal and disclose our limitations, our humanness. We do that before awakening, before the Buddha, before Bodhi mind, the awakened mind. We do not hide or pretend to be other than we are. I think this is very important. Many, many toxic situations in and out of Dharma communities come from arrogance and its twin, the feeling that we need to be something other than who we are. We do that for fame, for power, for pulling together some scraps of self-esteem, for sense of protection, for many reasons. But this is a central part of delusion. We hide our flaws, our limitations. We pretend to ourselves and others that we are not who we are in that limited sense. And in that way, we hide from ourselves who we truly are. And this is all based on the misconception that somehow perfecting the self is the goal, being somehow above the human condition. Sometimes we want so badly for ourselves or someone to be above the human condition. But that is a problem. This is the direct opposite of the realization that Dogen says. He calls our practice the dignified activity of a Buddha. The dignified activity of a Buddha is not dependent upon any special configuration of the self, much less a posture of invincibility or arrogance. The dignified activity of a Buddha is responsive communion. In this Saha world, this imperfect world, when we take this posture with all beings, the root of our delusion is melted. The root of our delusion of separation, isolation, is melted. And we experience life wholly. All beings support this. Every encounter, every dimension of our lives support this. This is the activity of faith. Faith, Shin, is an essential element in Soto Zen. But I think it's tricky. It may not be what you think it is. There's a whole lot we could say about this, but I just want to make a few points today for you to consider. First of all, faith in Dogen's teaching is not uncritical belief, much less a kind of unthinking acceptance of a set of teachings or tenets. It is not blind faith. It is not a belief that if you do this practice, everything will go your way. I hear this sometimes from people, that if you practice, everything will support you, in the sense of you will get what you want. It is true that when we live with openness, respect, and in responsive communion, our world changes. Our relationships change. Things are very different. However, there's too much suffering in the world, too many people who live their lives with honor and caring and also live in great hardship, for us to believe this slightly off notion. Regardless of circumstance, what this teaching of faith, this teaching of vow tells us is that regardless of circumstance, when we turn to the Dharma, when we rely on the teachings and practice, the situation may be very hard indeed, but we are not wandering alone with no sense of how to live with kindness, clarity, and effective action. That transforms our lives. The oldest Chinese character for faith is Xin, spelled in English X-I-N, or in Japanese Shin. And you'll notice that the word Shin is also the pronunciation for the character for mind and heart, but they're different characters. So this character is found in the 6th century text, the Xin Xin Ming, Faith in Mind. The left side of this character, the left radical, is the character for person. The right side is word. So person, word. So there's a sense in Xin of trusting the word of another. We can understand this as relying on the teachings, and that we, as individual people, live in relation to them. This is one character. Two parts, one character. So there's a sense of not being separated. Not being separated from the teaching. Person teaching, person teaching, person teaching. One thing. This is also an active stance. Faith is a verb. It describes a life of practice. It is far from passive acceptance. It's a dialogue, a transformation. A transformation of how we experience our lives as individuals. A transformation is how we experience our lives as communities. It is a meeting and merging of self-centered, Buddha-centered, awakening-centered, alive-centered. This is the fundamental shift of practice. Over and over and over again, moment by moment by moment. Self-centered, Buddha-centered. Self-centered, Buddha-centered. Self-centered, all being-centered. That includes the self. It is a shift away from the belief and the habit of placing the self in the center of the universe, to awakening to the fact that the universe is the center of the universe. We cease in that moment to act on that misperception, and we come alive with all beings. This is the life of Buddha, the dignified activity of a Buddha. The wonderful teacher Kosho Uchiyama points to a phrase in Japanese that is a way of uncovering this for us. The phrase is Shin Chujo. Shin Chujo. Shin, in this case, is the character for mind and heart. Chujo is understood as clear, in the sense of seeing things as they actually are. Shin Chujo is the clarification process, an activity that has no end. It is the endless living of practice. It is infinite, just as causes and conditions are infinite. This process of clarification is infinite. And our aliveness comes in the clarification process itself, not in some end product. Dogen says in the Shobogenzo, faith is so called when the entire body becomes faith itself. In this text, he says, this is the true This is the pure and simple color of the true practice, of the true mind of faith, of the true body of faith. Notice he's saying our mind, heart, qin, and our body. Faith is so called when the entire body becomes faith itself, becomes this activity itself, becomes this self-centered, Buddha-centered, this harmony, moment after moment after moment after moment. This is the life of Tao. Our practice deepens as we come to know in our bones this practice. Our practice deepens as we come to know in our bones this practice. In a sense, it becomes our bones. The practice, the faith, the engagement, the clarification process, the response of communion becomes our bones. The vow becomes our bones. It's what gives structure to our being. When the entire body is the activity, the response, the expression of self-centered, Buddha-centered life. This is true and simple. A way of vow and a way of everyday life. Again, I like to think of the word true, not in the sense of true and false, but in the sense of true as in alignment. In alignment. In alignment with reality. Simple in the sense of just this moment, nothing extra, this moment, this life, simple, direct, simple, this moment, in alignment. So, repenting in this way, one never fails to receive profound help from all the Buddhas and ancestors. Revealing and disclosing one's lack of faith and practice before the Buddha, the power of this revelation melts away the root of transgressions. This is the pure and simple color of the true practice, of the true mind of faith, of the true body of faith.